From WNYC, this is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. Earlier this week, we released part one of our big Thanksgiving spectacular. It has Amy Sedaris and Mo Rocca, some nerdy food science, Thanksgiving for vegetarians, and a lot more. You don't need to hear that episode to listen to this one, but if you missed it, I hope you'll check it out. Amy Sedaris' tips for dealing with family at the holidays are pretty priceless. But now it's time for part two of Thanksgiving is for Eaters. Coming up, Radiolab's Robert Krulwich shares the amazing story of a time that a turkey fell in love with his wife. But we'll start with you. We asked you to call into the Sporkful to answer one question. How do you know it's Thanksgiving in your house?
I'm Chase from Los Angeles, and I know it's Thanksgiving in my house when my mom is making her famous sweet potatoes. So ordinarily, you think of sweet potatoes with the marshmallows on top. But these sweet potatoes are mashed with cream cheese, about a half a stick of butter, and then they're topped with blue cheese, which is totally just throws everything out of whack. You know, this is one of those foods that even though we only eat it once a year, we spend the rest of the year thinking about it and wishing that we could eat it.
Hi, Dan. It's Janie, your wife. I know it's Thanksgiving in our house when you've been drinking since about 9:30 in the morning, but mostly I feel like I know it's Thanksgiving in our house when the kitchen is pretty much off limits to everyone except Dan after 9 a.m., and the house smells amazing all day. But seriously, Thanksgiving is a great holiday in our house. It's one of my favorite days of the year. I know, Dan, that you get really excited and plan the meal for a long time, and it definitely pays off. Dan, you make a great Thanksgiving meal, and everyone has a great time getting together and eating delicious food.
Aw, thanks, sweetie. That was a nice call. Although, I don't think I usually start drinking on Thanksgiving till at least, like, 10, right? Nine, that sounds a little early. But it is true that when I'm spending the day in the kitchen cooking on Thanksgiving, I like a drink. My friend Rosie Schapp is the drinks columnist for the New York Times Magazine. She also tends bar at South in Brooklyn. And she recommends a drink she invented called the Autumn Bonfire. So let me get my ingredients here. Let's see, it's one part Applejack, one part smoky scotch, which people should mix more with smoky scotch. One part non-alcoholic apple cider. Rosie says sometimes she cooks the apple cider down just a little bit to make it a little thicker. And then just a couple of dashes of bitters and a splash of maple syrup. Shake it with ice and sip away your Thanksgiving worries. Oh, man. I hope you guys are having as much fun as I am, eaters. But there's a crucial part of Thanksgiving that we haven't covered yet. Eating. My favorite part. Now, as I think I've made clear, eating for me is an almost religious experience. Eating's deep. So I need someone I can get deep with, someone I can have a real meaningful conversation with. And I knew the person to turn to is Radiolab's Robert Krulwich. I talked to him live on stage at WNYC's Green Performance Space. So I want to talk a bit with you about Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And the holidays, Thanksgiving in particular, Thanksgiving eating.
Yes.
Okay. I want to get deep with you for a minute.
Okay.
Because I know that on Radiolab, you guys get pretty existential.
Oh, yes.
You talk about big issues.
Very wise. We get very wise.
One of the big issues that people ask me a lot about that I've never really addressed much on The Sporkful, but I think it's such a crucial question, is at what point in a meal should you take the best bite? Like, the plate is arrayed before you, and I mean, if it's Thanksgiving, you know, let's say you see the perfect piece of turkey with just the right amount of crispy fat and just the right amount of juicy meat and the potatoes and the stuffing, they're all just right. You know, you see that bite. Do you want to take that bite right away? Do you save it for the end, end on a high note, or somewhere in the middle?
You cannot tell what your best bite will be, Dan.
That's good. That's a good answer.
And
I like that.
And here's why.
Please tell me.
Because the reason it's the best bite is because you may look at, say, the crispy turkey part that appears to be something coming your way, which gets a 10 in your mind, or the mashed potatoes, or the cranberries, or whatever it is, and you'll say, there it is. There's the thing I like. And then, by the by, a string bean that you did not anticipate will come, in my case, flying into your mouth. And that string bean will be an enormous surprise to you. And that surprise turns into the best bite. That is, you can never know the best bite. It is a shock and awe moment.
Well, that's, yeah. Yeah.
And everybody knows this.
Yeah. That's such a great answer, and it's really in keeping with your approach to life, Robert. Because asking at what point in the meal do you want to have your best bite is kind of like asking, like, at what point in your life, like a meal is like a miniature lifetime. It's like, at what point in your life do you want to have your best day?
Right. You can't know that. Right. Exactly. You've learned my lesson.
It's funny because I usually go for somewhere in the middle of the meal because I feel like people who say save it to the end, I disagree with. Because your appetite is primed, your palate is primed, there is such thing as palate fatigue. So you're not going to get as much enjoyment from the best bite if you save it for the end. But to have your very first bite be the best bite, it's sort of like, you know, what do you have to look forward to after that?
That's right, yes. There's a sexual equivalent of that, you know. You get into bed, boom, and then you need to wait a little longer.
Right. I think that's right. I think that's right. But you can't always plan it.
You can't plan it. The girls don't always know this. You just can't plan it.
Let's talk turkey in general. Are you a fan of turkeys?
I love turkey. I love turkey more than any other meat.
Really?
I wouldn't have said that 10 years ago. I would have preferred a cow part.
What changed?
I don't know. Maturity? I don't know. Maybe the turkeys got better. I don't know. I don't know.
And you had told me you also had an encounter. You started telling me a while back with a...
Yes.
Tell me about that
this
again.
I have a house on Shelter Island, which is about 100 miles east of here. And I have a neighbor behind my house who's he's the concrete king of Shelter Island. And he has an enormous house, and he has a bowling alley in it or something. But he also has an obsession with animal collecting, and he has small miniature cattle, and he also has recently been raising extraordinary turkeys. And one of them has somehow strayed from the reservation, and he's come through the woods, and he comes to my house. And he's a turkey. He's a wild turkey. I know he's from the Larson's house. I say, hello, turkey. He's like, not the smartest animal. And he fell in love with my wife. I mean, this is a weird... He looked at her and just decided to get very close to her.
Wait, she looked was at her first... like you were inside or outside, or where were you?
I was, at first, he was in the backyard. We don't have a backyard, we have like a meadow. He came through the meadow and he just sat there, and then he looked at her.
Through the window?
No, she was out in the real world, and he kind of came really unusually close to her, I thought. And then he just hung with her wherever she went. When she would go inside, he'd wait patiently by the door. And then the next morning at about 5:30, he was there again. And the next morning, so for some strange reason, I became jealous of this animal. So I would go out with my tennis racket and go whack, and then tell him that he couldn't like her so much. And I said, "Well, he's a turkey." I said, "You must have turkey friends. I mean, you have all those other turkeys." I finally called the Larsons and said, "There is a turkey that is making moves on my wife. You have to get that turkey back."
And what did your wife? What was her take on all this?
She was a little bit charmed to be adored by such a large. This will make this Thanksgiving extra special, I feel.
Let's talk a bit about leftovers.
Okay.
Do you have a specific strategy for leftovers? I mean, how do you like to eat your leftovers?
Always, whenever, anytime, on Thanksgiving, after Thanksgiving, the next morning, the next afternoon, the next evening, friends' houses, small gatherings, post-gatherings, later gatherings, later in the week.
But how do you do, after a few days of Thanksgiving, there's like two things you're tired of, right? You're tired of, some people may be, you're not, tired of your own Thanksgiving food, and you may be a little tired of hanging out with your family.
Mm.
So I recommend what I call a leftovers exchange party.
Yes.
Invite over friends, they bring all their leftovers, you put them all out on the table, everyone eats everyone's leftovers, you get rid of your leftovers, and you get to try different foods, and you learn new recipes for next year.
We do this. We do that. We've done this like for 4 years. We go.
Well, oh, you mean you've already read my book?
No, this may shock you.
But I didn't...
Having not even read the book, this was invented before you were born. I mean, I don't know. Like, there are people, who, at least on the Upper West Side, who do this very thing. They invite you over, usually with their kids, so then your kids and their kids, they all know each other, and then you go sit there, and you, in my case, I just eat everything. I don't speak at all.
So. All right, well, Robert Krulwich is the co-host of WNYC's Radio Lab. Robert, it's always a pleasure to hang out and speak with you. Big hand for Robert Krulwich.
Thank you.
Coming up, the culmination of our Thanksgiving special. What happens when a family argument breaks out at Thanksgiving and they call the Butterball Turkey Lady to mediate? I'll ask a Butterball Turkey Lady. Plus, On the Media's Brooke Gladstone and I try to cook together, and everything, everything goes wrong. Everything. Stick around. Welcome back to The Sporkful from WNYC. I'm Dan Pashman. Before we get back to the show, I want to tell you real quickly about a great comedy podcast out there called The Complete Guide to Everything. It's hosted by my friends Tim Daniels and Tom Reynolds, and it basically started out as their harebrained attempt to unseat Wikipedia as the world's most comprehensive source of information. They cover everything from escaping from prison to Taco Bell, and everything in between. I especially love the recent one where they talked about Bruce Willis. Tim and Tom share great stories, they argue with each other, and they solve your problems. It's really a show about everything and also sort of nothing at all. It's a lot of fun. The UK's Independent calls it banal and brilliant. Again, it's called The Complete Guide to Everything. Get it now wherever you get your podcasts. Now, let's return to Thanksgiving is for Eaters. At this point in our odyssey, I'm feeling pretty confident about the holiday. A lot of my anxieties are fading away, but not all of them. It's time to make a call.
Thanks for calling the Butterball Turkey Talk Line. Nicole speaking. How can I help you?
Hey, Nicole, it's Dan Pashman from The Sporkful at WNYC. How are you?
Hey, Dan. Great. How are you?
Good, good. So, you know, I got my listeners here, and we've all been talking this whole hour about Thanksgiving and the do's and don'ts and having a lot of fun in the process, but it would be great if you could help us out just a little bit.
Of course. That's why we're here.
What would you say is the most common question that people call up with?
The common question that we get year after year is, how do I go about thawing my turkey?
Ah, yes, the frozen turkey problem.
So allow me to tell you the two acceptable, the safe methods. One is refrigeration method, keeping in mind it takes 24 hours for every 4 pounds of turkey meat to thaw in your refrigerator. And the other acceptable method to thaw your turkey is the cold water bath method, a shorter method, a method for folks to use if they're short on time. It's a half hour per pound.
And that's just that. And the cold water bath, you just drop the whole turkey in a bucket of cold water?
A bucket of cold water or your kitchen sink, right, leaving the wrapper on, facing it breast side down. In the cold water bath, ideally changing the water every half hour or so to keep the water fresh and to continue the thawing process will ensure your turkey's fully thawed. And then you just put it, again, wrapper intact, back in the refrigerator until you are ready to begin your roasting process.
I'm sure people ask you all the time, what's the craziest call you ever got? When you hear that question, I mean, what are some of the calls that pop into your head?
Phone call that I always like is the father or the single guy that is in the grocery store on their cell phone, and we're talking them through the whole Thanksgiving grocery shopping process. They want to know what size turkey to buy. We ask them how many guests they're having. We give them a recommendation. And then a lot of times it's, well, I know you know turkeys, but can you also help me with stuffing? Can you also help me with dessert? Can you help me with the mashed potatoes? And we just kind of walk with them as if we're there right alongside them in the grocery store.
You know, in my family, I know that people have strong opinions about the way the turkey should be cooked.
Oh, agree. Mine too.
Have you ever been in a situation where someone called you up to basically ask you to play referee?
Yes. Yes. It's usually a husband and wife.
Right.
And I'll tell the wife one thing, or I will recommend something different to the husband, and they'll say, you know what, let me put you on speaker. Let me put you on speaker so my husband can hear. And then, you know, you hear like this banter going back and forth, and see, she told you. And it's always pretty cute because I, too, have a strong family dynamic and very strong opinions, and I'm thinking, okay, I can empathize with this.
Do you get extra cred when there is a disagreement in your family over the way things should be cooked? Are they like, well, if Nicole says it's this way, she must be right, or will people argue with you?
Well, you know, surprisingly enough, my in-laws, my husband's family, they really listen to my advice, but it's my own family sometimes. I'll tell my dad how to carve, or I'll recommend a certain way to carve or a certain way to store the leftovers. Well, they know, they've been doing it for a lot longer than I have, and so sometimes I think that, you know, they don't listen to my advice maybe as much as they should.
Nicole Johnson in Maple Park, Illinois, mother of four, 14 years with the Butterball Turkey Talk Line at 1-800-BUTTERBALL. Thanks so much, Nicole.
Thank you.
So you see, even the Butterball Turkey lady's family argues with her. So when your family argues with you, don't feel so bad. There's one thing that every family can agree on. It's dessert. So let's talk about that. The first thing I'll say about dessert is you should wait to eat it. After Thanksgiving dinner, take a break. Go for a walk. Stretch the legs. Once you get back, you're going to want to put something sweet in your mouth. My friend Brooke Gladstone from On the Media was telling me about this dessert that she makes at Thanksgiving called cracker pudding. It's got milk, sugar, coconut. I love coconut. But here's the real clincher. It has saltines. Saltines. Now, I love saltines, but I have never had them in a dessert. So I went to Brooke's house to investigate. She started by crumbling the saltines.
Okay. I'm going to just break these up. I have to say them.
Before you knew it, things went off the rails.
And by no means wash your hands, because it's all going to get burned off anyway.
That's right.
From there, it was basically one disaster after another. And it was so much fun. Here's just a small taste of the half hour or so Brooke and I spent working on the cracker pudding.
No. Oh my God, I just realized, hold this. I hope this works. Oh, and I'm supposed to add some vanilla, which I forgot. What the f***? This is now ready for a taste.
But in spite of our ups and downs, Brooke and I made it through and it was time to eat.
Oh man.
Brooke topped the cracker pudding with beaten egg whites that she browned in the oven. So the egg whites were kind of light and frothy on top, and then the pudding was rich and dense underneath. It was sweet and creamy and full of coconut, but then the saltines. That's what sets it apart. That's the key. So you end up with this sort of like a salted coconut pudding effect, and it was decadent.
Don't you just want to eat this whole pot? I mean...
Are you going anywhere?
Brooke Gladstone is the co-host and managing editor of WNYC's On the Media. Her recipe for cracker pudding and a video of Brooke and me having fun in the kitchen are at Sporkful.com. So you see, eaters, even when things in the kitchen go horribly, horribly wrong, like splatter on the walls wrong, the meal can still have a happy ending. I hope now you're feeling as good about Thanksgiving as I am. I am pumped up for the holiday, and I learned a lot. But let's hear a few parting words of advice and inspiration from some of today's guests. Amy Sedaris on hosting.
I would just make it as easy as pie and just ask people to help and contribute. Boom, you got it.
Mo Rocca on dealing with family.
Life is not a movie of the week, and there's not going to be some great resolution or a coming to terms, probably. There's not. And the best you can do is manage situations. And you should feel proud about that. You should feel like that's an accomplishment.
And Sam Sifton on cooking.
Everything is gonna be all right. That's the message I'm here to deliver. You're gonna display a kind of self-confidence that maybe you don't feel inside. There's gonna be plenty of food. And if it looks as if there's not, you're gonna pour double-sized drinks.
Thanks so much for joining us for our big Thanksgiving spectacular. A couple of quick reminders. There's still time to enter to win a military MRE, a meal ready to eat, signed by yours truly. We did a Veterans Day show last week that included some amazing stories of troops in combat going to extreme lengths for a decent meal. I really hope you'll check it out if you haven't heard it. And for that show, I bought some prepackaged MREs, and now I'm signing them and sending them to 3 lucky listeners. You can eat yours or keep it for posterity. They never go bad. For your chance to win, you must sign up for the Sporkful email newsletter by December 2nd at noon Eastern. If you're already on the list, you're automatically entered. No purchase necessary. Sign up today at sporkful.com/newsletter. Also, please remember to check out my friends Tim and Tom's excellent comedy podcast, The Complete Guide to Everything, available now wherever you get your podcasts. This show is a production of WNYC and The Sporkful. It's produced by Ann Sani, Kristen Meinzer, and me. Our engineer is Bill Moss. We get help from Tim Ruggieri, Talia Ralph, and Alight Trong. Special thanks to Paula Schumann and Chris Bannon. Happy Thanksgiving, one and all. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And I'm Nora from Taylor, Texas, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.